And this is Detroit Today on WDET. Good morning, I'm Craig Folly. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Coming up a little bit later in the program, April 7th marked the anniversary of the repeal of Prohibition, 75 years ago. And we'll talk a little bit about Detroit's history in the Prohibition era coming up in just a little while on the program. But we're going to begin today by getting another update on the situation with Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and Christine Beatty. Our guest is Ann Doyle. She's the president of Ann Doyle Strategies, a leadership and communications consulting practice. She has nearly four decades of accomplishment on the front lines of TV news, TV sports, and of course the auto industry, and was also inducted into the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame last year. Congratulations on that, first of all.
Thank you.
I hope to get there someday.
You never know.
I'm not sure about that. But as also, she was named one of the most influential women in the North American auto industry by Automotive News back in 2001. And you're writing a book, I understand.
Yes,
I
am.
It'll be out next year or the year after?
Next year is the goal, maybe by the end of next year. But it's on women's leadership, and that is really what I have been immersed in. And that's really why, thank you for inviting me to come in and talk to a leadership laboratory we have unfolding.
Well, the reason we have you, there was a blistering opinion piece in the newspaper about the situation with Mayor Kilpatrick and Christine Beatty, who, of course, was his chief of staff before resigning in the wake of this scandal. And I think, you know, in reading this, a lot of people have been talking about the unfair treatment and what is happening to the two parties involved that are both being charged here. And the fact that one is out of a job, one is still in the job. One doesn't have high-powered lawyers, the other does. At what point did you just decide enough is enough? I've got to write about this.
Well, the straw that broke the camel's back was clearly the headlines in Saturday morning's paper about what occurred on Friday when, Magistrate Stephen Lockhart decided to haul her into court and order her to have to wear an electronic tether and basically also to deny her the right to leave the state for any reason, and gave her a lecture about royalty and also, wondering who would hire her anyway, a person who is facing these kinds of perjury charges. And for that to stand alone is one thing, but for that to happen at the very moment when we're also watching on TV news the very male leader who is involved in exactly the same thing and actually has more serious charges against him, not only in a job collecting his paycheck from the city of Detroit, but not wearing a tether, strolling through the airport, holding hands with his wife, on his way flying to Dallas for not city business, but to go to a church service. This is something that women for sure, and I'm glad to hear, you know, Craig, maybe you've heard other people too, but women for sure have been talking about this for weeks. And it began all the way back in the beginning, and you and I can talk about that, but that was what really pushed me over the edge, and I was outraged.
You know, at the same time, you know, you're angry about the unfair treatment and the double standard that we're witnessing here, but it's tough to not paint her as a sympathetic figure. Because, I mean, the fact is she is being charged. She was complicit in a lot of this. I mean, it's a fine line you have to walk with something like this. Say she's being mistreated. At the same time, you know, I'm not condoning what she did. How do you walk that line?
Thanks for bringing that up, Craig, because that's a really important point that I want to make clear. And that is that the points that I made are not about Christine Beatty. They are about the dramatic discrepancy in terms of the way a male leader and a female leader, the consequences that they are suffering for exactly the same behavior. And they are so dramatic. They go all the way back to when this whole thing unfolded weeks ago. You know, within a couple of days, she resigns. Boom. She loses her job. She resigns. The male leader involved, Mayor Kilpatrick, he has the arrogance to basically say she had to go, wishes her well, and then continues to collect his paycheck, live for free in the Manoogian Mansion, drive around in these city vehicles with his security force, and insist that he's doing the work of God. And the point is that I think it's really important for us as people, you know, as a culture, to look at what's going on before us and not so much about the individuals, but what does this say about where we are right now in terms of the different standards by which we judge men and women.
You know, outside of this circumstance, I mean, this is a situation that actually plays itself out quite often when you have workplace relationships between perhaps a boss, a male boss, and a woman who is underneath him in some capacity in terms of the business. And that happens. The woman is the one that is forced out, is forced to leave that situation. And we still, this still happens time and time again. What's at the root of this, do you think?
Wow. We could have a long conversation.
Well, that's fine. Well, we've got some time. It's public radio.
Well, good. It's a fantastic question and something I'd love to talk about more. And of course, it goes back to deep, deep culture. And I'd love to speed up history and move us forward faster. But let's just take a look at where we are now. And the fact is that, you know, there have been tremendous discrepancies in terms of males and females, in terms of how they are treated through history. And all the dramatic breakthroughs have occurred in the 20th century. And so we've made great progress. But the fact is that there are broadly held deep mental associations. Some of them are conscious, some of them are unconscious, about what's appropriate, proper behavior for men and women. And each generation, you know, we keep moving forward. And men have been in the top position and women have been in the down position. And so most of what we're seeing is about women coming up to a more comparable treatment. So a lot of it is almost unconscious. And you know, people are not comfortable with seeing women act in the same way, maybe with the same authority. And one thing I guess I'd like to say about this is that it's so ironic that, you know, I don't know if I'll ever live long enough to see a man standing by his woman, you know, the way we expect women to stand by their man. And, you know, you can go all the way back to Senator Clinton. She had her highest approval ratings ever when she stood by her man who was accused, you know, of very similar kind of thing. That's what we expect a woman to do, you know. But when a woman is the one who crosses the line, and this is one of my points that I make to women in the women's leadership work that I do, is it's tougher to move up to leadership, and oh boy, you fall faster and harder than a man when you misstep.
In this type of situation, you're arguing in here that it's borderline sexual harassment when you are in a situation where there is a man who is perhaps your boss or somebody you work closely with that is sort of holding all the cards and can control things a lot more so than the woman in this relationship, and that it almost equates to sexual harassment.
Well, Craig, I wouldn't go that far. I did make
almost.
That point in the op-ed that I thought it was important enough to basically put a sentence in there about the fact that, remember, you know, there are lawyers who have cases like this all the time who say there's a very huge gray area when you have a situation where there is a sexual relationship and one of the parties, the male in this case, has all the power. So I'm not saying that this was sexual harassment, although I might say that don't be surprised someday if you see a lawsuit from Christine Beatty against Mayor Kilpatrick. And I think there would be lawyers who would take a case like that. But what I am saying is that, remember, he was the had all the power. She made a critical error here. But he had the power. He was the boss. She worked for him. She worked for him at his pleasure. Her financial security was completely dependent on him. And now he still has his wife and his family and his mansion and his job. And this is a woman who lost her marriage, lost her job. Her reputation and career are in shambles. She has two young children to support, and she's going to have to pick up the pieces and go on.
So what would be a fair and equitable solution in this situation? Because, again, the mayor's attorneys have said, look, there's no reason he should step down while this is going on. He hasn't been found guilty of anything, and it's unfair for this person to lose his job because, you know, for something that he hasn't been convicted for. Would that not hold true for Christine Beatty? Should she still be in her job right now as these charges are going on?
I don't believe she should be in her job. I believe that she did the right thing. It was absolutely correct, and she acted quickly. She had lost all credibility, and she was unable to function in that job. The problem is that you have a male leader, Mayor Kilpatrick, who believes that he can tough this sucker out. And unfortunately, there are people dancing all around this, not sure what to do. And there are a lot of people who are coming forward and supporting him. The way I read everything that people are saying and doing, I mean, I believe that more people in this community feel he should go. But I also will say that I believe we need some leadership for someone a person who has the authority to do it, to step forward. I would hate to see this thing continue to drag our community down the way it is.
Do you see any sort of positives coming out of this, at least in terms of bringing attention to sort of this inequality that you're exposing here?
Well, yeah, and that's the reason that I wrote this, because I believe it's really important for when we see something as visible as this, that all of us are watching unfold before us on the political stage, and it's such a hot topic, everybody's following it. It's really important for us to step back and look at what's going on here, not so much with Christine Beattie herself or Mayor Kilpatrick, but the underlying themes and forces that are playing out. And that was my point about writing this piece and getting it into the public conversation. And I knew for sure that women were talking about it like crazy, but I'm also a great believer that women need to use their voices more and get into, you know, the public conversation more and to shape the kind of community and nation we're going to be.
And I have to ask quickly, what kind of reaction you've gotten so far?
Whoa. Well, there's of course, I have gotten a lot of emails coming in because my website address, can I mention that?
Sure, please.
www.anndoylestrategies.com was published in the paper, so I started getting all kinds of emails. They start coming in at about 3 o'clock this morning. I was up about 5:30, but... And then also the Free Press has that blog. And that's
yes.
The great thing about the internet is the way we can talk to each other and listen to each other.
Sometimes.
yeah, sometimes, right. But I would say it's running pretty, what I've seen so far, it's running about 80% with me on the points I made. And, you know, so many women basically saying, wow, you put into words what I have been seething about for weeks.
Well, I have a feeling you might get some more emails now after being here. Ann Doyle, of course, president of Ann Doyle Strategies, a leadership and communications consulting practice, and of course, a member of the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame. Basically, you were inducted there for your leadership role in achieving equal access to sports locker rooms, to which, you know, I'm like, you're welcome to hang out in there. I don't. That's one of the reasons I don't like covering sports. Exactly. Ann Doyle,
hey,
thank you so much.
I'm one of seven children, so what can I say?
But thank you so much for joining us on Detroit Today. It's been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.